It's now 2 o'clock, and this is Captain Rick reporting. I'll be reading from the Wednesday, June 20th edition of the Decatur Herald and Review. The first article is entitled, Exercising Their Brains. Mount Zion Day Camp Helps Kids Channel Their Inner Inventor. Mount Zion by Valerie Wells. Kids at Camp Invention at Mount Zion Intermediate School will go home on Friday with a new pet. Don't worry, parents. This one won't make messes or chew up the woodwork. It's a robotic dog. Turning one on, camp teacher Stephanie Marshall set it on the floor and its eyes lit up while its tail wagged and it barked. I love Camp Invention because it's hands-on, said Marshall, a sixth grade teacher at Mount Zion during the school year. The kids get to build, they get to explore. There's no testing, no grading, and it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. That's why I like it. Camp Invention is a national organization sponsored by the National Inventors Hall of Fame, said Camp Director Billy Rocky. This is Mount Zion's seventh year hosting the camp, and it always sells out, he said, with kids coming back year after year. Activities are different every year, but always include an upcycle room with open cereal boxes, plastic bottles, and other such materials that kids can use to build and invent whatever they want. They rotate between stations every hour or so, and the day includes water games outside, so they bring a change of clothes, too. The campers, 115 this year, are in grades kindergarten through sixth. One of the activities they're doing is performing a urinalysis on three dogs. We have their test tubes for their urine samples, not real urine, Marshall said. The students have to go through and they have a vet record handout, which tells them what the normal dog temperature is, the symptoms that dog has, and it tells the temperature of the sick dog. And they have to determine if it's normal, if it has a fever, or if it is hyperbolic. They have to do a visual of the color of urine, the quality, and is it cloudy or clear when they do test pH results and glucose strips. The robot dogs have been subjected to being taken apart to see how they work and reassembled by the kids, who have adoption certificates and have named their dogs. They're putting fur on them and will make collars for them before they take them home. With such a packed agenda, there's plenty to appeal to all preferences and personalities. Water games are a favorite of Bree Shoemaker, who will be in third grade this fall. She said she doesn't remember a lot of details from last year's camp, which he also attended, but she remembers that. Fifth grader Landon Schwartz likes to invent things. My friend is coming up with an idea, said Landon, and then I'll draw what we want it to look like. Then we can go into the upcycle room to get stuff to make it. The kids never do the same thing twice, Rocky said. Our kids love it. Our families love it. It's a neat camp, and it really fits in with the whole STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, initiatives that we're doing in the district. But it's a lot of fun, too, he said. It kind of gives kids a different kind of camp, as opposed to a sports camp or an outdoor camp. It exercises their brains in the summertime, which is great, but it does it in a way that the kids really get into it. The district pays a fee to Camp Invention, which provides direction and modules, and Mount Zion teachers and older kids act as counselors. We have used the same teachers every year, Rocky said. If we do put them out there and we're looking for a teacher, we get a lot of people who want to do it. Most of the counselors are former campers, like 15-year-old Emily Van Dyke. She also wants to be a teacher someday. Working with the kids at the camp provides her some experience, which is helping her narrow down her options for what kind of teacher she wants to be, she said. She attended as a camper for several years. I really like the fact that we can turn items that were unused into something new, and they could actually work and move, Emily said. That really piqued my interest, because we can use engineering and science together to make new objects. Included with this article is a picture of six kids, and there's an adult hand in the lower right-hand corner of the picture holding, they're all holding a tarp, and four kids are in the tarp. The kids are wet, they're all smiling, and they're having a great time. The caption under the picture reads, "Participants compete in a tarp relay race water game during camp invention at Mount Zion Intermediate School Tuesday." Keep Decatur beautiful. Beautiful is spelled BEEUTIFUL. Business step up for beautification. Contest has 110 participants vying for this year's honors. By Danette Beckett. Decatur. Decatur is getting something of a reputation for its beautification efforts. We are one of the premier contests around in this area, Susan Avery said about the annual Let's Keep Decatur Beautiful contest. Other cities have called and asked us about our contest and how we do it. As co-chairs of the effort, Avery and Jill Davis know the success lies with a growing number of local businesses who care about the community's appearance. A chance to earn some bragging rights is just another bloom on the bush. Decatur is a beautiful place to live, work, and play, Davis said. That's really the goal for our contest. Those that stood out from the rest during the year's contest were reorganized during a ceremony Tuesday at Speed Lube, 925 East El Dorado Street. There are three categories based on the number of employees as well as Best in Show and Continued Excellence honors. Millikan University won the Lowe's Best in Show Award for the second consecutive year. Verniel Phillips, Millikan University's grounds manager, said his crew tries to improve the landscape of the campus each year. It's all for the students, the parents, and the faculty who get to enjoy the campus on a daily basis, Phillips said. It's a benefit for Decatur, too. While humbled by the honor, Phillips said the improvements would have been made even without the prospect of winning a contest. We do it anyway, Phillips said. This year's contest featured 110 businesses highlighting their curb appeal efforts, which included things like the addition of ornate pots of flowers, trimming their landscapes, making sure dumpster lids are closed, keeping litter picked up, maintaining parking lots, benches, and more. All of those things go into making a business truly clean, litter-free, and beautiful, Davis said. Then there is the wow factor. When we drive up or walk up to a business, the judges actually say, wow, Davis said. It could be that simply the business is pristine, no weeds, no litter. Maybe they took a creative or imaginative trick on their facades, or their landscaping. Anything that gets the judges' attention. Grace United Methodist Church is the recipient of the Speed Lube Continued Excellence Award. In order to get in the Speed Lube category, you have to have won first, second, or third place two or more times, Davis said. Carol Munch, president of Speed Lube in, I'm sorry, that's Carl Munch in Decatur, said the company sponsors the award as a way to encourage other businesses to take care of their property. It makes the community look better, he said, and it gives us more looks from our customers. According to contest organizers, the local Speed Lube stores are a prime example of what businesses and residents can do to add curb appeal. Munch gives credit to the employees for keeping the areas attractive. Jason Hopkins, Cliff Collier, and Ronnie Pfeiffer and their crews tend to the flowers, bedding, and shrubs. It takes a lot of hard work and a lot of people, Munch said. All of our store managers and people from our warehouse, everybody gets out there to make it look great. It's this type of commitment that organizers hope continues long after the contest ends. That is especially crucial this year. Judges for the National America in Bloom competition will visit Decatur on July 19th and 20th and evaluate the city on 6 criteria, including floral displays, landscaping, urban forestry, historical preservation, environmental efforts, and the overall impression. Decatur will be evaluated against similar-sized communities. The national contest was established in 2001 to encourage community bonding and beautification. Avery encourages the community to maintain all areas of the city. We are really in a push now for people to clean up the ground or areas of litter, she said. Areas that still need attention can be found on the organization's Facebook page, Beautify Decatur Coalition. Let's keep Decatur beautiful contest winners. Small business. First, Lindy Lewes. Second, Art Farm. Third, First Mid-America Credit Union. Medium business. First, Mount Zion Library. Second, Investment Planners. Third, Brush College Animal Hospital. Large business. First, Millikan University. Second, Northgate Pet Clinic. Third, Decatur Memorial Hospital. Speed Lube Continued Excellence, Grace United Methodist Church. Lowe's Best in Show, Millikan University. Animal Advocate Cited for Cruelty. Beth A. Hughes to appear in court June 27th. By Tony Reed. Decatur. A woman who ran a Decatur-based pet spaying and neutering organization and also took in homeless dogs and cats is now facing a city code violation alleging cruelty to animals. The complaint against Beth A. Hughes, 57, who headed the Caravan Pet Program, was filed in Macon County Circuit Court by the City of Decatur on Thursday. The citation dates to May 19th, when Macon County Animal Control Wardens visited a building she owns in the 1700 block of East Johns Avenue. In court documents, the city said Hughes had 25 cats and 7 dogs and failed to provide them with the necessary care such as food, water, sanitation, and veterinary services. A phone number previously associated with Hughes appeared to have been disconnected Tuesday, and her organization's website was no longer accessible. Hughes started the Caravan Pet Program in 2007. It provided pet owners in need with spaying, neutering, rabies shots, and even pet supplies for those who couldn't afford them. Hughes agreed to surrender custody of all the seized animals to the Macon County Animal Control and Care Center, according to a statement from the sheriff's office. The sheriff's office said animal control wardens discovered the situation after a caller reported too many animals living at the address. A subsequent visit revealed the dogs and cats all living in extremely unsanitary conditions, with some having no access to food or water, the sheriff's office said. Volunteers who worked with Hughes told the Herald and Review on Tuesday that things were spinning out of control at the single-story Johns Avenue home Hughes was using. Tracy Kennedy said people were dropping off too many unwanted animals, and Hughes told volunteers to keep out of certain areas of the home where those animals were housed. We really had no idea how many animals were in the house at any given time, she said in an email. Reggie Mitchell, another volunteer, said she was fired by Hughes shortly before the Macon County Animal Control visit because I started asking questions. Mitchell said the organization provided a vital pet food service for people with limited income. Hughes received pet food donations, she said, and raised funds by selling them at a steep discount to pet owners who couldn't afford store prices. The impoverished pet food store was open a few days a week, said Mitchell, who said it could sell 300 or 400 pounds of food in a day. With Hughes facing court action and the fate of the Johns Avenue facility uncertain, Mitchell worries what those strapped pet owners will do now. But she said she also knew Hughes could not go on as she was. Dr. Larry Baker, senior veterinarian at Decatur's Northgate Pet Clinic, knows Hughes and believes she meant well. I know she has a good heart. She wanted the best for animals, he said. I don't know what happened. My guess is that she just got overwhelmed. Hughes has been given a notice to appear in court June 27th to answer the complaint against her. If convicted, she faces a maximum fine of $500 and a minimum fine of $150 plus court costs. The investigation remains ongoing, the sheriff's office said. Assistant Superintendent Takes New Job by Valerie Wells. Decatur's Michael Dugan to join Honinaga School District. Michael Dugan has been named superintendent of the Honinaga High School District pending board approval at its June 20th meeting. Dugan, the assistant superintendent, secondary, for Decatur School District, will begin his new position on July 1st and will sign a 3-year contract. He joined the Decatur Schools in July 2014 as principal of Eisenhower High School and became assistant superintendent in July 2015. After the departure of former superintendent Lisa Taylor, in March 2016, he was named co-interim superintendent with Bobby Williams, where he served until Superintendent Paul Frugot began work last year. I like having a smaller setting, Dugan said. I've been looking for a high school district. I've been in unit districts my entire career. The Illinois Association of School Boards was the search firm, and they called and asked me if I was interested, and the more research I did, the more I was interested. One of the things that caught his attention, he said, was that Honinaga, I believe that's how you pronounce that, it's spelled H-O-N-O-N-E-G-A-H, Honinaga, he'll be in the school building with the kids, instead of a separate administrative office, like he is in Decatur. His eldest son, Jack, will be a junior in the fall, while middle son, Joe, will be a freshman, and he's looking forward to shaking their hands as they graduate, he added. Youngest son, James, will be in 7th grade in a Rockton Middle School. James is going to be in the Johns Hill Magnet School Orchestra in the fall, and Joe was going to be in the Eisenhower High School band. So it's going to be a tough transition for them, Dugan said. Wife, Angie, and the kids, and I have been very happy in Decatur, and the people of Decatur have been so friendly. It's been a wonderful place to live, Dugan said. Hononagas School Board conducted two searches for a new superintendent and had already narrowed the field to two finalists once before when they decided to conduct the second search that included Dugan. The district's current superintendent, Lynn Gibson, is retiring. When you want to make sure when you bring somebody in that they appreciate where you've been and where you want to go, that they have a plan and a way to assess how to get there. That's what we look for, said Hononagan Board President David Kerlinkus. When we go to the end of the first process, got to the end, we were unable to come to consensus on either finalist. So the board decided to reopen the search. It's not a knock on anybody, but you have to, as a board, be comfortable, be confident. You're entrusting a very important job to someone, which is educating our future. Honenega is a high school district serving four elementary districts, situated about 18 miles north of Rockford in Winnebago County. The school is in Rockton and serves students from Rockton, Roscoe, South Beloit, and an unincorporated area. While there is still a lot of farmland in the area, it's mostly suburban. Enrollment is 2,073 as of the 2017 Illinois report card data, with 20% low-income students, 80% white students, and only 3% mobility. In contrast with Decatur, which has 53% low-income and 13% mobility among its 9,104 students. It's a very high-achieving high school, Kerninkus said. In USA Today's rankings for top high schools in Illinois, we were 41 of 1,088. We have a high graduation rate, and most of our students go to some kind of education after high school, 2 or 4-year college. We're very proud of the product we put out. The Decatur School Board approved new job descriptions for the assistant superintendents at the June 12th meeting, so finding a successor for Dugan will also mean looking for someone to fulfill one of those newly created roles, said Superintendent Paul Frugot. He didn't want to put a timeline on the process, not knowing how long that will take, but the search will begin almost immediately. We'll definitely miss him, Frugot said. Mike served Decatur Public Schools very well while he was here, and this is a logical next step in his career, becoming a superintendent. Effingham County declared sanctuary for unborn by Keith Stewart of the Effingham Daily News. Effingham, after some revision, the Effingham County Board approved Monday a resolution making the county a sanctuary for the unborn, which drew both opposition and support. In a mirrored vote for its legislative committee vote Monday, the board voted 8-1 with Democrat Karen Lutchfeld, the lone dissenting vote. First proposed by Chairman Jim Neiman, the Sanctuary for the Life of Unborn Human Beings resolution says the county will oppose abortions except those necessary to save the life of the mother. Monday's meeting saw a full room of members of the public set in on the meeting, with some speaking out in favor and against the resolution. Who do you think you are? Said Karen Miller in opposition to the resolution. Not long ago, you were preoccupied with carving out a niche, making up new rules about which laws passed by the elected representatives that you and a small group of paranoid gun nuts do not want to abide by while purporting to be such patriotic, law-abiding citizens. Valerie Kimmy then spoke in support of the resolution, thanking the board for tackling the sensitive topic. There are few priorities higher than protecting innocent life, especially when that life is utterly defenseless, she said. Lutchfeld read a statement before casting her no vote, explaining that out of all the messages she received from the public, about two-thirds were against the resolution. Frontier Airlines Back at CIRA by Maria Nagel. Bloomington. Frontier Airlines is returning to Central Illinois Regional Airport, CIRA, adding nonstop flights to Denver and to Orlando, Florida. CIRA officials made the announcement Tuesday morning at an airport news conference. Frontier will begin its Denver service September 24th, said Airport Executive Director Carl Olson. New flights to Orlando will start October 2nd. Normal Mayor Chris Koos was among area elected officials, current and former Bloomington Normal Airport Authority board members, and other who were present to hear the announcement. The airline previously provided air service to Denver, serving CIRA from 1997 to 2001. Later, it returned to the airport with service to Denver and Orlando, but that service ended in 2014 and 2015, respectively. For the week of September 24th through September 28th, Frontier's new flights to Denver will depart CIRA at 5:21 p.m. Monday and Friday, arriving at 6:45 p.m. at Denver International Airport, and departing Denver at 1:21 p.m., arriving at CIRA at 4:31 p.m. on those 2 days. The expanded schedule for the Denver flights begins October 2nd, with flights leaving CIRA at 6:35 p.m., arriving at 7:59 p.m. at Denver on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, and departing Denver at 6:05 a.m., arriving at 9:15 a.m. at CIRA on those 3 days. Flights to Orlando will leave CIRA at 10 a.m., arriving at 1:30 p.m. at Orlando International Airport on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, and depart from Orlando at 4:25 p.m., arriving at CIRA at 5:50 p.m. on those 3 days. Stretch of road to close today, Decatur. 4 miles of road between US 51 and Weichel's Road will be closed to through traffic all day today. The road is being closed for oil and chip work, scheduled to begin at 7 a.m. this morning, weather permitting. Residents in the area are asked to refrain from mowing during the closure and to direct any questions to the Macon County Highway Department at 217-424-1404. And that's the end of part one of the Wednesday, June 20th edition of the Decatur Herald and Review. This has been Captain Rick reporting. I'll be back with part two after the break.